Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. Welcome to my show. How have you been? I was just dancing to my little introduction there. I like the drum beat, you know, and get into that. But did you pay close attention to the song itself or the melody itself in the middle? There's the call of the soul. The call of the soul is like the call of the wild. It's like time to change the direction of our lives to something more soul compatible. It's time to focus more on the spiritual rather than the materialistic. It's time to be who you are, who you're meant to be, who the Creator wants you to be. And we're here on missions. Yes. One time in your pre-existence, in accordance with the book, The Soul's Remembrance. Remember that book, The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills. He said that we were all spirits in heaven at one time in this huge auditorium. And the spirit, mother or father, whether depending if you're predominantly male or female spirit. And I can talk about that later if I remember. I've got a lot of things written down, but sometimes, you know, I don't remember. If I don't have it written down, it's hard to remember. You agree with that, right? But let's say for Roy Mills' case, he's a predominantly male spirit in the afterlife or the pre-existence, whatever you want, whatever you prefer to think of it as, or both. And he said that each one of us, we're in that auditorium, and then up on the stage came the spirit father, or for predominantly female spirit, the spirit mother. The light is so bright that emanates from them. It's incredibly, wonderfully bright. Brighter than the sun, if you can imagine that. Followed by angels of very high stature, dressed in beautiful garbs with different colors. So they came from one side of the stage to the throne, or this chair, if you will, on the stage. And then apparently, according to Roy Mills, because in his book, he talks about the soul's remembrance. We can't remember, and I mentioned this in my last show, we can't remember where we came from because it's been deliberately blocked out, kind of like our brains are hardwired for some things, but we're not allowed to have access to our pre-existence because it could, let's say, hinder our missions. And even talking like this, like what I do, whether you're very spiritual or very religious, you know, we still have that right, that will, to connect with our Creator, or our Creators, Mother and Father God, and realize who we are. But let's just say in the beginning, we're not meant to remember. We can get by that by being spiritual, seeking spirituality, reading about other people who have had experiences, near-death experiences, extraterrestrial phenomena. But as I was saying, so the spirit father in his case had every single one of the little spirits there in the auditorium come up in front of him. He would point his finger at a spirit and like magic they would lift up and come towards the stage like being pulled by a tractor beam, for lack of a better way of describing it, until they were right there in front of him. And among other things, what the Spirit Father told Roy Mills, or what Roy Mills asked the Spirit Father, was, can I please have the memory of heaven when I come to earth? Because most of us don't. And the Spirit Father granted him that request. So, hey, that's some food for thought right there, huh? It can be done. And apparently Spirit Father looked around at some of the high-ranking angels that were there, and one of them was expressing some reservations about that. And the Spirit Father still went ahead and granted his request. So read that book. That's an amazing read. Roy Mills, A Soul's Remembrance. If you want to increase your spirituality, develop yourself more spiritually bald, that book would help you. And I know there's books that I could read that you've read that would help me. But for right now, welcome to my show. And it's called Spirits Can Exist on the Sun. It's been called many things before. You know what? If it was up to me, I would change my show's name just about every week. But that's too much inconvenience for Doug. He's been so patient with me. Before in the past, my show's been called, the last was God is on the Sun. Because it's the spirit world, a world on fire. It's the light of our solar system. It's the light of our solar system. So that makes sense that the sun, which is the matrix of our solar system, all the planets revolve around it, right? And the energy from the sun is making them revolve and rotate on their axis. Now, isn't that a thought? The power from the sun not only provides heat and light, but also revolves the planets around itself. Also, my show is called Blake Rubiology, Spirits of the Universe. I like that one because, you know, we pass on to the afterlife. We have a little vacation in heaven. It's great, you know, we get to partake in the activities, all the angels running around, the chariots everywhere, the mountains and valleys, just like here on Earth, but everything's so much brighter and more intense, the colors. And everything's pure. There is no darkness, no shadows. There's only joy and happiness. And people are just like receiving excellent news every second, you know. It's that good. And they have peace there. They have the trees of life that have 12 different varieties of fruit on each. Plus they grow wheat, all kinds of vegetables and fields. I don't think they eat meat in heaven or fish. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, then they have water from the river of life, you know. So they have these great feasts and having tables that stretch out to be a couple thousand meters, you know. Everyone happy. And then you have all these people that you've known from the past. Great celebrities, biblical patriarchs, you know, that are there. And now some are reincarnated, so they're not there. Eventually will return to their place of origin, you know, where their soul and spirit were created. We've got people like Abraham there. And, well, it's possible that some of these people do reincarnate. You know, some of these spirits and souls do reincarnate. Of course, there's Jesus who died on the cross. He's there, and he's like the highest ranking next to the spirit mother and father. And then you've got Paul. Let's just assume that they're still there. You know, they haven't reincarnated because I was going to say that is our mission eventually. You know, depending on our level of spirituality, we need to get back onto a physical world somewhere in the universe. Hello. You know, it could be this galaxy. It could be another galaxy. Oh, my God. There's so many out there. You think our God is limited in his power, the supreme creator that is? No, the Supreme Creator can create. The Supreme Creator can, that's a mouthful, can create anything, anywhere. I can't impress upon you that more, okay? The Supreme Creator, I'm not talking about the Mother and Father Gods of solar systems, but the Supreme Creator who initiated the Big Bang is omnipotent beyond comprehension. And the Supreme Creator loves to create planets. And you think this is a beauty right here? Oh, planet Earth? Oh, my God. There's some out there that are just as nice, if not nicer. Yes. Because this planet here on Earth, this planet, our Earth, is a wonderful, beautiful planet, no doubt about it, with such a variety of life, you know. Millions of insects. I mean, there's over a million different types of insects. and I've said this before, it's kind of like a record, a recording now for me to repeat this, but I'm trying to just say how many, how much life, how such diversity here on Earth. You know, over 1 million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the ocean, lakes, rivers, and seas, over 10,000 types of birds, over 10,000 types of reptiles, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 6,000 types of mammals, all the thousands of types of flowers and trees and fruits and vegetables. And if all that happened by accident here, right, it's logical to assume it can happen by accident elsewhere. But I know it didn't happen by accident. And if you're listening to my show, you know it didn't happen by accident either. There is a supreme creator who created everything with the Big Bang all those billions of years ago. And so here we are about 15 billion light years from the center of the universe. It's all revolving still, right, in one huge circle. Just like our planets are revolving around our sun, so is our solar system revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy is revolving around the center of the universe. And that's the way the Supreme Creator intended it. And also, the Supreme Creator's plan was to have Mother and Father gods, spirits like you and me, who, through reaching a level of perfection, one life after another, learning, evolving, developing spiritually, they would one day achieve that level of perfection where they would be able to know how to use the powers of the universe, the cosmic forces that exist, by speaking the right words. Like the Bible says, it's accurate when it says, in the beginning was the Word, but it's more complex than that. You can create with words or destroy. True. So take our Mother and Father God in heaven right now, assumably the creators of our soul and our spirit, although you could come from another sun in another solar system or in another galaxy. The well-traveled souls, the advanced souls, the mystic travelers of the universe could come from other, originate, so to speak, from other suns and other solar systems and other galaxies. But they too had a journey like us, living, born on one planet, right? They died. They went to heaven. And then they were born again on another planet. And then they died on that planet and so on. Over and over again, as many times as necessary, sometimes maybe 200 times, 200 past lives, the more advanced souls could have in excess of 200 past lives. And you don't remember, because that's why it might drive us crazy in this particular social environment, you know, category one planet like planet Earth, as I've mentioned, then you know all the wars we've been through in the past, all the killing for no good reason. You know, last century, millions and millions of people, even before that. I mean, all the different wars, the Civil War, the War of 1812, wars all around the world, not just with the U.S., you know. The Revolutionary War, wars before that. People were just treating each other like they weren't human, you know, which is wrong. There's no good reason to kill each other. But people have done it because, one, greed, you've got something that I want. You know, that's basically it. So, our Mother and Father God, they had lives like us on this planet, you know, on some planet in the universe. It'd be the same galaxy, Milky Way galaxy, I don't know. We all have to go through those steps to achieve that level of perfection. And once you know how to utilize cosmic forces, then you can create with words, synchronicity of thoughts. But you need your soulmate, male and female, positive, negative, alpha, omega, yin the yang, you know? And it's called Emerging Spirits. Sylvia Brown, the famous psychic medium, may God bless her soul. I loved her very much. I still love her. I know she's there in the spirit lands. She talked about the merging of spirits. Once you get there to heaven, guess what? Surprise, surprise. You can still have a sexual, shall I say, relationship with a member of the opposite sex. Because, really, there's only one way. And this is, everything's my opinion, okay? I don't mean to offend anyone out there. Everyone has the right to their own free will and experiment as they grow up. And until the day they die, they have that free will to learn right from wrong. But with a male and female, that's the intended way for reproduction, right? For co-creation, procreation. You can experiment with your sexuality in any other way, and there's no law against it, but truly, the one way is only the way is the only one way. But I'm not judgmental towards anybody out there that is, shall I say, gay, homosexual. In fact, I think they're very cool people. I recognize them for being beautiful people, human beings. The thing is, and I've explained this before in other shows, is that you have a situation where female spirit is born into a male body here on planet Earth, or vice versa. A male spirit is born into a female body. Why is that? Because it helps them to, sometimes, you know, because of karma, it happens, reasons happen during, even before an individual's lifetime. If you say in a past life were very disrespectful, or even you might have killed a member of the opposite sex, and if you were, let's say, very judgmental or discriminatory towards a member of the opposite sex, then in order to pay that karmic debt, that you would come back as that member of sex to see what it was like to experience that. So women, of course, have been persecuted, treated like a minority until just recently, you know, like 100 years ago, when they were granted the right to vote, if I'm not mistaken. And then eventually, you know, they started getting more rights, were treated more equally. And so now today, women, you know, they're seeking equality, the same kind of pay as men. Physically, of course, they're not as strong on the average, that is. You know, there are some women out there that are really strong and gifted and talented and know how to take care of themselves, you know, suffice it to say. But getting back to the, let's just call them gay people, whom I love, you know, and I have no problem with it. I see them on television, and I think they're great people, but I've seen them all around. I go to, like, maybe Wendy's to order some French fries, and there'll be a person there in the window, and I tell them right away, I look in their eyes, I can see that's a female spirit in a male body. That's a male body, a male spirit in a female body. I mean, I don't know for sure with everybody, because not everybody is like that. Well, you can say on the, generally speaking, most male bodies have a male spirit in this world nowadays. And also most female bodies have a female spirit, but it's vice versa. So not only do they pay karmic debt, but also I think it helps us to be more tolerant of each other. And so they're playing a very big role, a purpose to bring us together as one human race. Human beings living together. And that's been one of the reasons for the fighting in the past. You know, besides, I've got what you want, you know, I want what you got. That's what the fighting's all about. Well, that's not completely what it's about, but also because of this discrimination that has existed in the past. Racial, too, you know, what the black people went through. I saw Harriet Tubman the other day, and it's incredible, hard for me to believe, really, truly, what went on just 300 years ago, you know, how they were treated like they were enslaved. And that is so wrong. But then again, that's the world in which we live in, you know, going through evolution, these steps in our evolution, enslaving people, lack of money, you know, they needed people to work their fields. No excuse for that, of course, but still it's understandable back then. I mean, now we live in a society that is advanced technologically, and we have trillions of dollars in the world monetary system, right? Back then, there wasn't that much money. Now you go even further back in time to Moses' time, when he led his people out of Egypt. They were enslaved, too, discriminated against. You know, the Egyptians thought the Israelis were a minority race. It's the other way around, actually, as I've talked about on previous shows. The Israelis actually were the chosen one because it came from another planet of a higher category. I don't want to go into it now, but suffice it to say that people with Hebrew, Jewish ancestry, Jewish Hebrew ancestry, came from a planet somewhere in the universe, I'm not sure, but it's called Hebra. I learned this from Thayuba, the Golden Planet, which is my Bible. I love that book. I've learned so much from that book. So they landed many, many thousands of years ago. And they could tell that they came, I mean, they were from a superior planet, evolution-wise, and their spaceship needed repairs. So they were trying to make repairs on their spaceship, and there was an explosion. Some of them died, and then there was a man and some women, they survived, and then they realized they were in trouble because they were stuck on a planet of a lower evolutionary category. But apparently it wasn't that bad. They made it south, they traveled south, and they procreated and had more children. And according to Ayub of the Golden Planet, that's where the Garden of Eden, supposedly, got its comparison from, if you will. Read that book. So interesting. Now, getting back to the homosexual gay people, as I said, I love them out there. I don't judge them at all whatsoever. I think we need them in order to make this world a better place. And transvestite people, awesome. And I know that some extraterrestrials out there, the ones that have guardianship of our planet, among others, that have been observing our world for thousands of years, as it says so in that book, and you can read other books too, and there's, ladies and gentlemen, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of different types of extraterrestrials out there. Some, of course, we don't know about. And there's an Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. Hello? You know, that's the thing that we want to join ultimately. Just imagine if we had contact with a race of extraterrestrials that wanted to help us, be our friends. Oh, that reminds me, there's a book. You've got to read this book. It's one of my knowledge. I share it with you. I got it from someone else. I share it with you. It's called We Come as Friends, True Tales, Positive Tales of True Alien Encounters. It is such an awesome book. It's got several stories in there about, usually you hear about the negative, right? The movies you see nowadays, negativity, 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 aliens, aliens, they're trying to kill us. Oh, well, hello, I've got news for you. By the way, I'm not a dummy. I didn't just graduate from kindergarten yesterday. Hello. If these extraterrestrials who can travel interdimensionally, travel up to the speed of light, go intergalactic in just a matter of, I mean, by traveling interdimensional, they can pop from one galaxy to another, you know. They've been traveling throughout space, the frontier of space, for millions of years. They have anti-gravity and electromagnetic capabilities. One drop of antimatter, do you know what it could do to our planet? It would destroy it within seconds. They have no mean intentions. If they'd wanted to, they could have destroyed us before. If they wanted, to wipe us out, the human race, you know, all these mean, killing people that have existed in our past, you know, no offense, because that's usually what happens during the evolution of a particular species on a planet, is that they go through these preliminary stages of warfare and killing before they finally realize, why the heck we do that for? We don't need an army. We don't need police. You know, let's be civilized and grow up, you know, and be the spiritual beings we're meant to be, you know, that the Supreme Creator intended. So anyway, and I was thinking, in that book, it talks about this one guy. He had a close encounter with this one extraterrestrial, and this individual extraterrestrial saved him from a dump. I guess this guy worked at one of these landfills and was going to close up one day, and it was getting dark, and that's what he did. You know, he got paid to do that, go around and close things up, make sure everything was locked up and closed for the night. And so he lost his step, missed a step, and fell down into one of these holes that they create, you know, for landfill, for the bulldoze trash, garbage into, you know, and then close it up. And so he broke his leg. And he was in pretty dire straits, you know. He couldn't make it up out of the hole, and he had to spend the whole night. And all of a sudden, this one ET showed up with its flying saucer and got him out of there, you know, pulled him out with a tractor beam. Again, that's using anti-gravity and electromagnetism. Got him aboard his spaceship, you know, patched up his leg. And so he had a conversation with this extraterrestrial who was maybe about 5 feet. Some of the stereotypical gray, you know, with big dark eyes. But this one had, I think, tan-colored skin. They vary in the colors, you know, gray, tan. And, of course, extremely, extremely, extremely intelligent, you know. So I guess this particular ET, he loved to travel around the universe with his spaceship and peek in on some of the civilizations that are out there, see how they're doing. It just so happened that he was cruising around planet Earth when he saw what had happened. Not too out of the imagination, so to speak, you know. They could be doing that. And, you know, at that right time, right place. So they were talking. So he said, well, let me tell you this story. Sit down and envision this story I'm about to tell you. Apparently, when he spoke, the words that came out of his mouth was like when you have someone read to you, read a story, you know, like we read stories when we were children, you know, the mother, your mother or your father reads a story to you at nighttime. And it kind of sends you off into dreamland, right? The sound of their voice, story, it's so peaceful, you know. Helps to get to sleep. But anyway, so he was told to, this guy who broke his leg was sitting back. This was before he released him, you know, and went his own way. He said, think back in time to a place in our universe where some civilizations were getting along together. And there was something they called the Decemvirate, which was 10 very powerful extraterrestrial civilizations living in harmony, sharing their technology together, extremely advanced technologically, you know, spiritually also. And they did this so that they could share some of the things they've learned. Not everyone, not every civilization out there is the same. You know, they all have their unique circumstances and their unique take on some technology. Their spaceships are different, you know. But they formed a bond to work out some issues they had among their civilizations for the benefit of all, you know, in love and compatibility. But apparently there was this one race that didn't see that, didn't agree with them, and broke away. And as I mentioned, they were very advanced technologically. And they became known as the Destroyers. And it was their desire, so to speak, to travel throughout the universe and destroy whole worlds. And they're out there, apparently. And they know how to do it, too. But what was interesting, I thought, from what this ET said to the guy in the story, was that they would do it in not the usual, what you might think of, reference the movies that we see, you know, their weaponry firing at us, maybe even use antimatter, as I mentioned before, to destroy our world in a matter of seconds. But instead, they would throw like a net of negativity over the planet that would cause people and animals to turn on each other in wild animal lusts and blood in their eyes, and eventually just destroy each other with their hands, even animals turning on each other, dogs, cats turning on each other, tearing each other apart. And they would delight in seeing that happen in a slow, slow way. Kind of reminds me of COVID now situation, but I don't think they're responsible for it, my friends. I think there are several reasons, I believe. I didn't mean to scare you if I did, but let's read that book, Become as Friends. That's the main thing right there, that these extraterrestrials out there, they are friendly, most of them, but there is one race, and you could Google that if you want, the Destroyers that are out there. But I think we have a lot of protection. You know, as I said previously, we are under the guardianship of some very, very powerful ETs out there that would know how to deal with them. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? I mean, that would be like warfare on a scale that would be difficult to comprehend. You know, their weaponry. Not how, we couldn't even comprehend what kind of weapons they have. But suffice it to say, one of the guardians of our planet, the book Thayuba, The Golden Planet, check out that book now, please. It's my favorite. I know you're going to love it. If you haven't read it or started reading it so far, these ETs are, I was mentioning before, transvestite. They're like transvestites. They're called hermaphrodite, male and female. They can regenerate their own cells. They don't get old. They live on this planet of a ninth category. I've talked about this before in other shows. 9 feet tall, and they've had interaction in our past. Like back in Moses' time, their spaceship is the one that parted the Red Sea. Did you really think that Moses did it with his rod? Think again. And on Mount Sinai, the thunder and the fire, that was one of their spaceships back then. Anyway, and if you don't believe it, well, I guess you can just say he's entitled to his opinion. But the truth will be revealed one day, my friends, hopefully before you pass away and we pass away. Because I just know when I get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of people coming up to me and saying, Blake, I heard your show. Back then, I disagreed with some of the stuff you said, but now I realize, you know, and not everything I'm saying is true, I think. You know, I'm not 100% accurate with all I say, but I've learned a lot from getting old. I focus my learning on mainly spiritual matters, and I have been doing so for going on 30 years now. Even before that, my mother was very mystical and put me on the right path. So, these ETs, they're like transvestites. And I don't know how they reproduce. I don't care to think about it too much. You know, I know it's good. They don't do anything that's wrong. But I have nothing but respect and love for transvestite people out there. I think they're awesome. I love them. I love them as child of God and children of God. And so one reason that I thought might be because we have this pandemic, and you have to believe, you just have to believe that there are two beings, if you will, who are in control of our planet, right? We forget about that. We blame each other stuff for stuff that happens sometimes. You know, oh, it's the Democrats' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. Mr. Trump's fault. Oh, no love, no love, no love. I remember the song from back in the 80s, Land of Confusion by Genesis. Don't you know this is the land of confusion? There's too many people causing too many problems and not enough love to go around. Love, 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 that's what it's about. Democrats, Republicans, they are, you know, that blame game. And they're all prepping up for the election in November. And I got this email, this text message the other day from somebody who was representing Beto O'Rourke. You know him, right? And he competed with Ted Cruz for the senator's position a year or two ago. I forget exactly when, but he said in his text message, "Can we count on you for voting for Mr. Biden?" or words to that effect. And I said, "I haven't decided yet, but whoever's the most loving and whoever references God more is who I will vote for." So I think he came back after that and said, "I understand." Well, that's great. I'm glad you do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I see on television, you know, the Democrats now, CNN, they're saying, "The economy is so bad. How can Mr. Trump take pride in the economy when it is so bad right now? And unemployment just ran out, and who knows what they're going to do?" Well, hello! The economy wasn't so bad before COVID. What up with that, you know? It's understandable that the economy would not do well. It makes me think that there are some people that didn't like Mr. Trump so much that they might have started something. I don't know, that competition can get so fierce, you know, so mean, so cutthroat, so backstabbing. But, as I mentioned, we are not in control. Hear that noise? The jet engine, he did it on purpose. I know, came over here, interrupt my show. That huge jet engine from one of those jet fighters at Lackland Air Force Base flyover. You can't even hear yourself think. They're so loud. You know? Noise pollution. It's real. I mentioned it on my last show. You think you get used to it? No, you don't get used to it. That's why I wear earplugs when I sleep at night. I've been doing that for going on 10 years now. Because, and there might be some detrimental effects with that. But we've got dogs and they bark at all times of the day and night. We've got these jets flying overhead. We've got cars on the street outside. People, I live within the house, you know, and this is my house. I bought it, but now I've got a wife. We got married in 2011. I've got my stepdaughter and three grandchildren, and they just love to be up all night now. During the day, they could sleep during the day. You know, they're night owls. So earplugs are a good thing for me. But back to who's in control. Who's in control? Someone up above, Mother and Father God, they're in control. And one reason that I decided, thought about for the pandemic is we need to rest. As a society, we become too high speed. And we need to slow down, smell the roses, and rest. It should be mandatory. Indeed, it should be mandatory to rest. When you get to heaven, it is mandatory. I found that out. I read about it from people that have had near-death experiences and gone there. The number one order of the day there in heaven among all the activities is to ensure you get enough rest. Of course, you don't have a body that gets tired, but suffice it to say, people enjoy doing nothing. But you do have these activities when, you know, where you have to maybe go to a lecture, or maybe you're giving a lecture. I know that I'll be giving a lot of lectures when I get to heaven. You go to these feasts, as I mentioned. You might want to go swimming in the river of life, go down beneath the surface, and guess what? You won't drown. Yes, it's cool, the effects of water in heaven. I've read, when you get down below the surface, and you might panic for a second, oh, I'm going to drown. Well, guess what? You're already dead, you know? And you've got these prisms of color throughout the water. It's very peaceful, and people love to float right there in the middle of the water, you know, below the surface. But what other activities, they've got? They've got concerts, musical concerts. Angels, of course, sing like, I mean, no one can sing like an angel. I've heard people try. I try. I sing pretty darn good. I just posted a couple of new videos on YouTube. If you're interested, go check them out. One today called The Sounds of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. Check that out on YouTube, my friends. And I've been using a microphone, too. I got to say, and I'm a pretty accomplished singer. I've been singing for many years now. And I mentioned to you before on previous shows that I go to the Wounded Warriors. And I've got a repertoire of over 100 songs that I sing for them, mostly songs that help them, you know, get through issues and talk about God, love, and nature. God, love, nature. God, love, nature. Please don't destroy nature. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? We need to take care of planet Earth. We need to stop polluting the atmosphere. That could be another reason for the pandemic, you know, the taking out of oil from underneath the surface of the Earth is in there for a reason, you know, to help with the shifting of the tectonic plates, you know. And it wasn't meant for us to power our automobiles, you know, many millions of years down the road after the planet was created, you know. That was not God's intention, I'm sure, you know. And also the competition going on between the political people, you know, the news stations. There's something wrong with that competition when it gets that backbiting, you know, backstabbing. Hello, you know, just chill out. I mean, don't, it seems like you're, some of them, it's like every minute of every day, they're bent towards the demise of the other administration, saying things in any way they can to try to effect that change for their benefit, what they want. Well, in the last election, if I'm not mistaken, there was about 50 million Republicans that voted for Mr. Trump. You know, that's 50 million people out there. Are you even thinking about them? You know, but really, you know what we need, my friends, is more love. Why can't you love Mr. Trump? You know, why can't you love anybody? We should be adoring each other. We're not. And that is really, I understand, you know, that's just part of our evolution. That's the way it goes. But we will eventually, when you get to a planet of a higher category, maybe the next life or the one thereafter, you're going to see that they adore each other. They love each other. They would never do anything to hurt each other, never say anything bad about each other, especially not behind their backs, you know. If you got something bad to say about Mr. Trump, why don't you go and say it to his face? And or Mr. Biden, you got something bad to say about him? Say it to his face. Don't. Reminds me of, yeah, don't do that. Reminds me of, remember O.J. Simpson? I met him. They say, some people say that he killed Nicole Simpson, his wife. And I talked about this on a previous show. I met him, and he was an awesome guy. I mean, just the friendliest guy. When you look in someone's eyes, the mirrors for the soul. you can see the kind of a guy he was. And he didn't come across as a murderer to me, people, you know. And this was actually before. But I know that things can change. From my opinion, and I did a little bit of research on this. Nicole was into drugs, you know. No justification for her death, of course, for sure. However, when you're dealing with the cartel, getting your drugs, your cocaine or your crack or whatever that she was using, and you don't pay your debt, they come to collect. And if you want to be a bad person about it, you know, and talk trash to them, they're gonna put you down, you know. And I think that's what happened with her. She was a fiery individual, you know, come to get the money. So it just so happened that OJ showed up around that time, and they pinned him to the scene, you know, and placed him on the scene. That Ron Goldman, he got caught up also, and probably tried to defend her, and he got killed. And the cartel probably said to OJ, hey, if you want to talk about this, you want to tell people who we are, who did this, we're going to get you, and we're going to get your children. So he couldn't talk about it, right? But my point is, if you think he's guilty, or anybody, you think someone is guilty of a particular crime, just consider this. Now, it's probably not possible in all situations, but if you sat down and talked with them face-to-face for like 30 minutes and asked all the questions to your heart's desire, you think you still might feel the same way? The point is, don't judge people. Don't jump to conclusions, you know, until you have more facts. That'll help you love people more, you know? And Jesus said all those years ago, love thy neighbor. And have we been doing that? I think for the most part, people haven't been loving each other. Love. And how do you love people? You pray for them. Why? Because you just spend a few seconds putting those words up into the atmosphere. They go up to heaven, the sun. And they're heard by angels. Maybe Mother and Father God directly, I'm not sure. I know that angels have a lot to do with things that go on here on earth. They have a lot to do with the revolution, rotation of the planets, with the atmospheric conditions. I would venture to guess, my friends, believe this or not, I've thought about it many times, every single bolt of lightning that comes down during a thunderstorm has an angel behind it. An angel is aware of that. Maybe not necessarily initiating it, because there are atmospheric conditions where things like that happen. It's just what a planet does, you know, when they have these storms develop on a planet because of the atmospheric conditions, storms develop, and then lightning and thunder, well, lightning specifically, is a result of that. That's nature. But let me just refine what I said. Restate what I said. I think that angels are aware of every bolt of lightning that strikes on earth. And some might be initiated by them, too, for whatever reasons. Angels are awesome, and they're out there. Just because we can't see them doesn't mean they don't exist. So, in retrospect, in summary, prayer. Pray. You know how to pray? Let me give you if you're listening to my show and think you're interested in what I say, you come back and you hear me. I apologize for anything I said in my previous show that might have offended people. I don't mean to be judgmental. From now on, I think I'll just say, hey, you know, this is what I do. And if you agree, then you could do the same thing, too. But I won't say something that might offend people that later on I'm going to regret having said, which I did. Some of the things that I do, I think about it afterwards. And I listen to my show. I like listening to my show afterwards, you know, after it's archive. Maybe a couple of days afterwards, I'll go in and listen to the whole show. I like listening to myself. I think I'm a very brilliant person, very, very intelligent and loving, with a lot of spirituality to share. But when you pray, and everyone should pray, you know, all it takes is just putting those words out into the atmosphere. It's not too hard. You just have to have faith, you know. I don't mean to challenge your faith in any way, because I know you want to know the truth, like I do. So when you pray, you have to know who you're praying to. You have to have a vision in your mind of praying to the Spirit Father, the Spirit Mother, there on the throne. Envision, if you will, light so glorious and brilliant that if you were to actually one day you will be in their presence, stand before them. That judgment day is coming, indeed, for each of us, you knew that. And their light is so powerful, and light is like that. I mentioned also in the past about how your soul is like a lamp bulb, and what you do in this life helps to either increase it or decrease it. So ultimately, if you came to Earth, for lack of a better way to describe it, as a 20-watt light bulb in your soul, then you want to graduate as a 100-watt light bulb. 100-watt light bulb. Yeah. So you can shine with a brighter light than when you were born, my friends. Because when you get to the Spirit Mother and Father and even Jesus, I mean, the light is so bright. It will knock you to the ground. It will render you prostrate on the ground as a spirit. You'll be there barely able to look, lift your head up. The light will be so bright. And so envision, and you have to know what, just pretend of a, just envision, imagine a face so beautiful, marked with authority, knowledge so incredible. Maybe the Spirit Father has a beard, a flowing beard, white flowing hair. Maybe that's the way he wants it, you know. Muscular all over the body, chest powerful, arms powerful. That's the Spirit Father, the Mother, Spirit Mother. Beautiful, wears beautiful colored clothing. Just when she speaks, her voice is like flowing waters, like a thousand voices all at one time. Beautiful. The birds sing when they hear her voice, you know, kind of just trying to create something to explain just how beautiful, intelligent, loving they both are. So I pray to Mother and Father God all the time. And it just has to be simple, nothing complex. Like, Mother and Father God, I know that this pandemic is here for a reason. And it might not be your wills, but I hope that it can end as soon as possible. And here in the United States, it seems like we're being hard hit. It's been all over the world. I don't know why. Maybe we've gone against your wills. You've blessed America before, and I pray that you would continue to bless America and help us to get rid of this pandemic, for it to go away, for us to understand it, for us to come up with a cure, a vaccine. Help us, please. And you don't need to say in the name of Jesus, because you're communicating directly with them. As a child of God, you have the right to do that. You don't need an intermediary. Don't believe some of the stuff they tell you. Have the right to have a direct relationship with your Creator. But I won't get caught up in that kind of childish stuff, you know, like, I believe this, and I mentioned before, I'm sorry if I offended anyone. I gotta watch what I say, you know, because some people are so sensitive out there. You co-creator gods in the making, I tell you, you're a handful. And you've got egos too, you know, I gotta watch about that. Stubborn. I understand. I won't say that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say stubborn. I'm sorry. You've got your own way of doing things. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's right. But I love you. You know, we love each other, don't we? I mean, in a soul and spirit kind of way. So, that's how you pray. Or you can pray to the Supreme Creator of the universe. Supreme Creator. I like to sometimes just change my voice. Supreme Creator of the universe. How great and powerful you are. You are so awesome. You who created the Big Bang. You are an energy, a force, powerful, beyond comprehension. You who created galaxies, Supreme Creator. You look like all the different species that you created. They say that we are created in your image, yet we're just a part of your image because there are many thousands of extraterrestrials out there that are also part of your image. And so, Supreme Creator, thank you. A thousand thank yous for the miracles of all creation. And indeed, how great you are to create something out of nothing. Because in the beginning, there was nothing but darkness and silence. And you, Supreme Creator, and then you decided to create the physical universe. And by the power of your will, after having imagined all the atoms and all the suns and planets and moons and the people and the animals and vegetable matter, by the power of your will, there was this tremendous explosion and the universe began forming itself in accordance with your will, Supreme Creator. We love you. Thank you for our existence because we didn't have to exist. There didn't have to be anything. Many thanks to you, Supreme Creator. Guide us. Protect us. Help us as we progress on our soul's journey. Thank you. Again, we love you. So that'd be a prayer to the Supreme Creator. Sometimes I think, you know, what am I doing on time here? I only got maybe a minute or two left. And shout out to all you other people out there who have your own shows on BBS Radio. That is awesome. I hear you sometimes. Every time I can think about it, I tune in to hear what you've got to say. Okay. So shout out to you. Thank you. Keep up the great work. Shout out to my son, my sister, my friend Ramon in Argentina. And until next Saturday, take good care of yourselves. And may God bless us, everyone. Bye-bye.